Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Amen. Hello and welcome back to the weekend edition of Let the Bible Speak. And I am your host and my name is Pastor Paul Backhurst, and I'm the Minister of the Gospel here in our Calgary congregation. It's good to have you join us again, and especially now as we're continuing through our series looking at the foundations of who we are, the foundations of our faith, the foundations of God's revelation to us. And we're now still in chapter 1 of Genesis, but now we're coming to the fifth day of creation. It is on the fifth day of creation that we see that life is created. We've seen the greening of the earth, we've seen vegetable life, plant life, but now we see actual living, moving creatures being made, and different types as well, after their kind is the expression that's used according to the different sorts of fowl or of creatures that are moving in the sea. And it is that sort of life that we see on the fifth day. The fifth day showing creatures being created in the waters and in the air, in the atmosphere around us. And so as on the first day the Lord said, let there be light, in a similar way, the Lord says on the fifth day, let there be life, and life that moves, and life that is abundant life. And so we will examine this fifth day of creation with the Lord's help, taken from his word. You've heard the scriptures already read to you at the top of the program, taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. And so we'll go now to our pulpit and hear the first part of this message, which will be repeated on Sunday evening as part 2 of this message, entitled, Let There Be Life. I have in the last number of weeks, so they've had a few weeks break from examining Genesis chapter 1. But in the weeks when we have been looking at those previous 4 days and other matters, we have been taught, by God himself, by the Creator himself, how he created all things. This is no Hebrew mythology. This is no sort of borrowed Semitic tradition of Zoe or whatever. His account, of course, is an eyewitness account. He was there. It's also a simple account. It's a simple account so that anybody can understand it at any time, that you do not need a modern 21st century scientific degree with all its terms and understandings, as error prone as they are, to understand this. The Lord has his people in all generations and in all places, and he wants to feed them. He wants to save them. And so the Lord speaks in simple language. He creates all things and he knows all things. And so he has caused all things. He has spoken all things into existence, all things into life. All people he has spoken into life. All of you he has spoken into life. And it's therefore that we are all personally responsible to him who created us, who owned us, owns us, has a right to us. Now the fifth day of creation is a special day. Maybe not special as the sixth day, but it is a special day because it's the first day that actually biological life is formed. Moving life. And in the wonderful creation of the diverse life forms that the Lord makes in the sea and in the air, the Lord also points, I would suggest, to the death-conquering work of Christ himself. And here we see that work of Christ in causing new life to come forth where there is no life. New life, new movement, new energy, newness. Just like a spiritually dead sinner coming to life as the Lord Jesus calls him to life. And as the Lord said on the first day of creation, in verse 3 of chapter 1, let there be light. In a way, if we just summarize what we read then on the fifth day, he essentially says, let there be life. Calls life into being. And that is the title of the sermon this evening as we examine the fifth day of creation with the Lord's gracious help. Let there be life. And as we read the words that we have before us in verses 20 to 23 of Genesis chapter 1, we see firstly the word of intention. The word of intention. Now the words of the Lord Jesus are clearly heard when he speaks in verse 20, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." His word produces life. Unfailingly, he speaks life, he says it, and it happens. His word of intent has results. This is the word of God. We consider all the words of God, the commandments of God, the warnings of God, the promises of God are all firm. They all stand. They all have effect. They will have their effect. And here in this work of creation, we see it. In Psalm 33 verses 8 and 9, it declares this, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast by the word of his power, creating everything. By the word of his power, sustaining everything that he has created." A powerful God. And the word of God is a powerful thing, powerful revelation. And so as we're looking into this verse 20, we see firstly the movement created. Because it is, as I mentioned, upon this fifth day that real life is created. And we can consider the vegetation that's created on the third day is not life in that way. It is actually the foodstuff for life. It's foodstuff for the birds that are created on this day and for the sea creatures that are created. It's even food for those land-dwelling creatures that are made on the sixth day. Vegetation which is to be eaten, which can rot, which can be broken and decompose, is not alive in the same way as animals. And it was always God's plan to have this, the plant life of the seas, like plankton, the plant life of the earth, there to furnish us with food, to furnish all the animals, all the moving animals, the creatures, the moving creatures, as the language the Lord has here, and the fowl of the air. It's food for them. So they would always be eaten. They would always be trod upon, always be damaged and rot. But that's not death. That's not death as the word teaches. It's only when man brings sin into the world that we have death of creatures, of moving creatures, of sentient creatures, of humans because of man. Now what is interesting is the word that's translated creatures here is a fairly well-known Hebrew word. I think it's fairly well-known. A word nephesh. A nephesh, you would also translate as soul. Now, we're not being taught here that these animals had a soul in the sense that humans have a soul. But they have a soul in that sense that they are living creatures. The Lord has put the spark of life into them. They move, they eat, they flee, they build, they have natural faculties that the Lord has given them in the various habitats that the Lord has put them. They have mating rituals. Even the fish in the sea, birds in the air, even the animals, but we're not looking at them at the moment, all have these various ideas, these various aspects to their soul. You kick a dog, he's wounded. He's not physically, well, he's physically wounded depending on how hard you kick it. But you can see the dog is wounded in some way, emotionally, becomes fearful because God has put a soul into all these moving creatures. It's something, it's an element of life that plants do not have at all. And these creatures of the sea and the air, they have all sorts of wonderful things that plants do not have, as I've mentioned. But you'll never see a plant pulling itself up by the roots and walking and replanting itself somewhere. You'll never see a tree with a smile on its face. I mean, you will if you read children's literature, but not in the real world. There's a huge difference between the vegetation and the moving creatures. And so on day two, as we've looked at, the Lord caused the firmament to be created. The firmament, we have the full firmament of heaven, but we have here that other name, the open firmament of heaven. And that's what we would call, say, the sky. And it is in the sky, in the open firmament of heaven, that there is now a place for the birds to fly. There's also land for them to land on and to feed on. And so they have that place. The Lord had provided for them and for their many numbers. And on day three, we saw that the Lord caused the land to be separated from the sea. And now the fish and all the sea creatures have a place to live and to swim in. I mean, there was water there already, but exclusively deep water for them to dwell in, to live in. And we see, therefore, just looking at those two aspects, how all the works of creation have been done in a wise and a clear order, according to the infinite wisdom of God. As I mentioned before, and I'll say again, this is no Hebrew myth. This is the eyewitness of Jehovah God himself saying, "I did it in this order, and then I did this, and then I did this, And then we see as we examine it, humbly looking at it, ignoring the noise, the white noise and the lies of the evolution movement, and read this, we see, yeah, well, that had to happen. Then that had to happen. Just there's a logic and a wisdom to be found here in this simple account of creation. The massive details, which we know nothing of, exactly how the Lord has put these all things together, we're still only scraping the surface. As science, still only scraping the surface and trying to understand and making great mistakes and having to replan things and re-say things. And even worse, of course, is to fit it all into a false pattern, a false paradigm called evolution. And therefore, there's a lot of information that has to be hidden. But that's another matter. This is not a class on evolution. But we see, therefore, very briefly, the movement he created. But we see also the material of creation, because see the wording in verse 20. It says, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Let the waters bring forth abundantly. It would appear that God created out of the very waters of the earth these birds and these fish from the very water. And again, if we look in verse 21, in the middle of verse 21, it says, which the waters brought forth abundantly. It is the work of God, it's the command of God, it's the word of intention. And we'll see, secondly, in the work of completion, that it's He that does it. But God seems to have created it from the very waters. And doubtless after the separation of land and the seas, that the seas were very rich in minerals that they'd soaked out of the land and drained off from the land with them. But to be honest, for life, you don't need much. Water itself is made up of hydrogen and oxygen. There's plenty of carbon dioxide dissolved in water. Again, this is not going to be a science lesson, but it's carbon. Carbon is there. There's nitrogen dissolved and nitrogen molecules dissolved in water. Even now, even today, and you just need those four or five elements to create every single fat and every single protein which makes up the human. There's not much carbohydrate in human, but mostly fat and protein. Some of us may be more fat than protein, but I'm working on that. And so we see even from those simple molecules of water, as we see it, the Lord can and did make all these living creatures. And that's in contrast to the creatures of the land. The creatures of the land are made from the earth, but we'll come to that on the sixth day. And so these waters on the fifth day of creation have become what? They've really become the waters of life. The word of intention is secondly the work of completion. The work of completion, because having spoken his intention in verse 20, God then goes on to do that work of creation. There's no divinity in the earth or in the water to actually bring these things forth. But the Lord speaks it, he speaks it to the material, and then he creates it. And that's what he intends, he performs, and what he performs, he completes. And therefore we see next in verse 21, it says, and God created. So God spoke, and then God creates the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So we see firstly, as we look at verse 21, that this work is fully abundant. It's fully abundant. It's God created an abundance of creatures. And what this says about the Lord, the Lord is very creative. The Lord is infinitely creative. And they're abundant after their kind. He mentions only great whales, but then every moving creature that's in the sea. All the different types of variety of life. And going from the biggest, say from he mentioned the whales there, but also the sharks and the fish and the jellyfish and the shellfish and all sorts of life. That's the great numbers of individual species. And then the subsorts that are all to be found there. If you go and spend some time looking into these things, the variety is astounding. The colors are wonderful. The shapes, the sizes, sometimes bizarre. But it shows the creativity of God and all these things performing and functioning well. No evolutionary mistakes, half floating in the water, but perfect creatures for their environment. A hand of wisdom, of infinite wisdom, having made all of these creatures abundant after their kind, but also abundant in numbers. That's the very understanding of the word abundant. As we know today, and we've done more research, well, not we, you know, but mankind has done research, and looking at see how much the seas are filled with life. And there's always been a great variety of those that men can fish from a vessel. But as they send down these submarines deeper and deeper into the deepest trench on the earth, they see more and more life. It's not that life stops. Life continues. Even on the seabed of the deepest part of the ocean, where there's only volcanic activity and lava bubbles up out of these holes, what do they find? Bacteria. Bacteria and life forms are even to be found there. It's brimming with life, abundant life. And then when they go down in these vessels, they see strange creatures that they've never seen before. And so within the last 20 or 30 years, as the technology has allowed,
new creatures, hundreds, thousands of new creatures, some bizarre creatures, living in depths where no light can reach, which is ice cold, under great pressure that would squash you and me if we were down there without an expensive submarine. And yet even there, the Lord had spoken life. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. They're going to have to do an awful lot of digging on Mars to find anything. But on Earth, everywhere is teeming with life. You leave something outside, it's food. It's teeming with life before you know it. Well, not if our dog doesn't give you a chance. So abundant is a very good word that the Lord uses here. Bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl. That word abundantly therefore refers also to the fowl. A good word, the word to abound, to be overflowing. You'll know the word inundate, you know, where the waters sort of come in. But this is the other way around. Abundant is the other way around. It's flowing out. It's overflowing. It's the same idea of flowing. But it overflows. My cup overfloweth is abundant. I have my cup. It's filled. But I get more than I need it. My cup overfloweth. The seas overflow with life. It's an abundance of life. This is abundant God. There is precision and there is wisdom with God. But there is no portion control. There is an abundance in all that the Lord does. And even when we were considering this morning, the suffering of Christ and the success and the effect of his work, as we were looking at Isaiah 53 and verse 11, we looked and quoted 1 John 2 and verse 2. We didn't go into it. We didn't open it up much. And we'll only look at it from one angle. I know there are two angles for us to look at this verse. That being said, this is what 1 John 2 and verse 2 says. And he is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is that wrath-extinguishing sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And Christ has not died for the sins of all people in every place, in all times. He hasn't. He's died for his people. He's died for his elect, whom he will save in his time. That's not what it's saying. It's talking about the worth and the value of the death and the sufferings of Jesus Christ is of abundant worth, of super abundant worth, that it is enough to save the souls of everybody who has and ever will exist. In fact, it is so abundant and super abundant, the value and of the death and the sufferings of Christ, that it could save countless worlds. Just an idea, considering the abundance of God, even there in the gospel. And Christ saves out of his abundance unto our abundance, out of the abundance of who he is. And that's what he says in John 10 and verse 10. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. A true Christian walk is an abundant life. If somebody calls themselves a Christian and does not have an abundant life, now when I'm saying abundant, I'm not talking about cash. I'm talking about the true abundance. I'm talking about the deep and eternal matters of the soul. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking of joy. I'm talking about comfort. I'm talking about becoming conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The mercies of God even flow through the Christian. Abundantly. Abundant life. A life that we have with the Lord, that where we're in our darkest place in our lives, and maybe we've had many of them, the everlasting arms are underneath and they're carrying us. That the Lord is our shepherd and we can call upon him to help us. And sometimes he comes with the rod, sometimes he comes with the staff. But he is our shepherd. And we have that abundant relationship with the Lord. The friendship of God, as we were considering this morning, by faith and through the justification we receive from Christ. So the Lord declares that the life of the Christian is to be an abundant life. It's to be a life that is overflowing. It should be, the lips should be abundant of Jesus. The heart should be abundant of Jesus. And maybe it is not like that all the time, because we have the old man of the flesh, the old carcass of sin, the very source of death in us, dragging us down. And therefore the Lord says, but you know, you must conquer. You must mortify. You must crucify him. And don't give him a chance. But we know that daily battle, and it is a daily battle. And so the Lord himself, he offers that great abundance. And there are many more verses. As I was examining and researching, preparing, are just so much in the scriptures talking about the abundant mercy and grace of God towards his own people. It's abundant. It's overflowing. But the point is that not just in the creation of creatures is God abundant. Towards everyone that calls upon his name, he is abundant in those things that matter. There we have it in the creation of creatures, but what about in the recreation of sinners into saints? Abundant. And God is much more abundant in that regard. So we see, therefore, on the fifth day that that creation is fully abundant, but we see also that it's freely blessed. For you.
As we come to the end of our programme today, I would like to play you a couple of pieces of music. And the first is the metrical psalm number 8, and that's verses 3-9, and that is to the tune of Gainsborough, and that is sung by the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland's Presbytery Choir. And after that, I'd like to play you another piece of music, and this time it is sung for us by the Jeff Lamb family, and it is called One Thing Have I Desired of the Lord, and that is also taken from the Book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 27 and verse 4.
Thank you. set me up upon a rock to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is the radio broadcast ministry of Calgary Free Presbyterian Church, which is a congregation of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I do trust that the Lord has been pleased to teach you from His Word, not just for your head's sake, but also for your heart's sake. The Lord has opened your heart, that Word will be planted in and will do you good, will do the believer good, that you'll grow in the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ, but also for the unbeliever, that the Lord will convict your heart of your need for repentance and faith, your need of Jesus Christ, and that He will convert you. So turn from your sin today and turn to Him, whom to know is life eternal. You will all one day meet your Maker, and either you will meet Him laden down with sin and unrepentant of that sin, and you will eternally pay for that sin, or you will appear before the Lord, having been washed in the blood of His Son, and be completely forgiven and enter in to the joy of your Lord. If you would like to get in contact with us, then you may ring us up on the office telephone number, which is 403-285-5050. Send me an email on pastor@calgaryfpc.ca. That's pastor@calgaryfpc.ca. You can visit our website for more information about who we are and to catch up on past sermons and past Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, that is of the weekend edition. And our website address is calgaryfpc.ca. If you want to get in touch, have any questions, would like a copy of the scriptures in the authorized version, that is the King James, then please do get in touch with me via those methods. Now, since all the lockdowns have ceased, we are fully open for our services. There is no adult Bible class at 10 a.m. at the moment in this summer break, and that'll be recommencing in the fall. But we have our morning worship at 11 a.m. and our evening worship, a separate service, different message from the Lord, at 6 p.m. And every Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the evening, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. So you're welcome to join us if you're able. And I would just like to close now with wishing you the best and praying that the Lord will be pleased to bless you, to save you, and to save your loved ones, for whom no doubt you've been praying, that they would be saved from all their sins and would know the Lord Jesus Christ. So may the Lord bless you and yours, in Jesus' name.